Good. Room isn't quite as crowded as it was last year. I don't remember this many empty seats. Thanks for coming. I don't have much to say. You're going to hear it all when you ask your questions, and you all ask very good questions. So we're ready to go. You want to start? Who gets to start? It's always you, isn't it?
Good morning, Zeke.
Good morning.
Joe Plathanio, Press Box. When it comes to the many years you've had running other businesses, 10 years as the majority owner here, when you're faced with a situation that you're not used to and that you don't like, are you tempted to go for the quick fix, the knee-jerk reaction, or do you consider yourself more of a deliberate, temperate thinker?
Both. I think your heart wants to react quickly. I think your head, if you're a wise businessman, you take time and you listen to a lot of people and you contemplate a lot of different things. But failure is part of success. And we're all very disappointed here, as disappointed, obviously, as our fans are, more so. And I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with where we are. I'm comfortable where we're headed.
Jared Sandusky, can you put your number one priority looking to the offseason?
Work on that 30-yard chip shot. I'm horrible at it. supporting these guys, my role really doesn't change. It's to support my coach and my GM and get this thing moving in the right direction. We had a lot of failures on the football field, offense and defense, and so I know they've got their work cut out for them. So it's to be a sounding board to them and encourage them to make the kind of decisions that they believe are the right ones for us. And I love that part of the job. Even under duress, I still love that part of the job. It really, I think I've said to you guys in the past, I really love the off season more than the season itself because of the lack of stress involved in that. I just sit back and start worrying from Thursday on for 17 weeks of the year and pray for good outcomes. So the off season is really just an extension of Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays overcoming losses in the regular season. It's just the macro scale here in the off season.
Ozzy, John Harris, Comcast Sportsnet. Last year, you had some tough decisions to make, whether it was Anquan Boldin or Ed Reed or Pollard. You do have guys that are big money guys that do a lot of money. Do you see restructuring? Do you feel that you might have to make some more tough decisions to keep it all in balance?
Well, I think we'll continue with our theme of not restructuring contracts, but there's a difference between restructuring and offering guys extensions. We have guys that are in the last year of their contract, going into the last year of their contract, and we've had a history of being able to get good deals done with guys heading into that last year. So I don't think we will embark on doing any more restructuring, but we will probably look at doing some extensions. Well, to say we're disappointed in the run game, no doubt. I mean, the history of this franchise has been our ability to run the football. And when you run the football, especially in the AFC North, with the type of defenses that you face, you have to have the ability to run the football. We think that's a friend to the quarterback. when you have that ability. And that's one of the things that we've already started to work on. And when I say that, we've had a chance to talk to the guys that were personally involved in the run game, which means the offensive linemen, the tight ends, the quarterbacks, the running backs, and also the coaches already. We've had the opportunity to talk with those guys, and everybody understand that 2014, we will do everything we can to be a better run team because it will make us a better football team.
Jeff Zerbeck from the Sun. Steve, you talked about how you had a lot of failures on the football field. I guess offensively, in particular, how concerned are you about what you saw at times from Joe?
You know, that's the hard part. I mean, I'm really not a football guy. I watch like a fan with maybe a little more knowledge than everybody else. And when you look at these guys that have been coaching in the league and have had success in the past, and you look at our players that have had success in the past, if we could have fixed it, we would have. I certainly expected I expected more in the second half of the season. So. As interrelated as the running game is, you know, to the play action pass and the execution of the offensive line, trying to divide up the blame is something that I'm really not much more qualified than you guys are to do. But when you have a short window of failure that comes out of the blue, I think the key is not to make wholesale changes. I mean, I know that Ray Rice was limited this year, and Bernard Pierce was limited, and if they had been better, then maybe the offensive line would have performed better. Obviously, if the offensive line were blowing open holes, then maybe they could have achieved more with their physical limitations. And if that had worked a little better, then I think Joe would have performed a little better. All the things, the numbers that are so striking to me to find yourself in the bottom five in offense in almost every category is again, something that had we not had a history in the last 5 years, then I would probably demand wholesale changes. But I think you have to be careful not to look in a vacuum and decide that you have to throw out the baby with the bathwater and let people get healthy, let these guys work together for another year, add some people to the team in the draft and free agency. And, you know, I think that I think it's safe to say that we're going to look at the offense with the same fine-tooth comb that we looked at the defense last year. And so I think you're going to see a lot of changes in personnel and how we approach that. So I'm pretty proud of the defense for being able to retool on the fly, and I've kind of got the same amount of confidence with these guys in building the offense.
Well, I think John has already done a good job of assessing the offense, spending time with his coaches, spending time with Joe, some time with Ray. And I think it's no doubt in my mind John has a very good understanding of the direction of this offense and what we need to do. He and I have had several conversations of what we think we need to do to get our offense better, an offense that can, you know, not only just perform in crucial times like we did down the stretch, but to be able to play a 60-minute football game. He and I are very much on the same page. Is it going to be bringing in some additional talent? Probably yes. Is it going to be expecting some of our guys to develop and get better? We will need that too. And then a cohesiveness of direction that's going to be provided by John with his coaching staff as to what we want to be and what we want to look like.
Roger,
BrianMinkBaltimoreRavens.com. Kind of piggybacking off of that, just when you look at this team personnel-wise, what do you identify as the top needs going into the offseason?
Well, I think we got to get bigger in the interior of our offensive line. That's one of the areas that I think we need to improve on. I think we need to have a more athletic safety in the defense. I think we need to be able to get a receiver, whether it's a tight end or a wide receiver, that can make a 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8 catch and some run after the catch. If I was to look at the three things that today, and that's coming out of a four-day of personnel meetings and talking with my staff, those are some areas that we can probably add some. We will try to add some. But I also believe in this. You get better by getting yourself better. And I have no doubt with the work that John and his staff has done in the past week and a half that the players that we retain on this team will be better players. It's a possibility. We'll have the opportunity to go down to the principal's office this weekend, and we'll lay everything out there. We'll know exactly what our cap situation is. We'll talk about guys that we want to re-sign, extend, whatever, release. And we will do whatever it takes, and the possibility of using the franchise tag is something that we might have to do.
Could you explain the principal's office, please?
You get a chance to go to a man's house who just happened to live next to Tiger Woods. You know, it's great dialogue. I mean, it's something that we started doing maybe 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago. And we take 2 days and...
Pat and Eric and Pat last year or two years ago for the first time.
Exactly. And what I try to do is I try to bring as much information to the table about the contractual situations, about how there was the makeup of the roster. And we sat there and we tear it apart. And we look at all elements of it. And we have John there providing all the insights from the coaching. And then we come away with a plan and we try to execute that plan.
Dave Ginsberg, Associated Press. Steve, you termed this season a failure, but do you weigh that against the fact that Ozzie didn't go into salary cap hell by, you know, restructuring a Super Bowl team? And do you look at it as a team that at least got to the within one win of getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. A half. I mean, we're tied with Cincinnati, and in the third quarter, and we knew we needed that win. So we came up a half short of being in the playoffs, and I think you saw last year that anybody can play and anybody can win it. We've seen it in the last few years. So I think it's fair to say it's a failure because our goal is to be one of the top 12, and so there's bigger failures out there. You know, there's teams that are a whole lot more disappointed. And if we found ourselves at 3-13, like the Falcons, then I think that they're sitting there thinking we've got to make a lot of major changes. And I really don't think we do. So I like to feel, I mean, if 8-8 is a failure, and I hope it's a long time before I feel worse than this. But that's just the way it goes. It really does open up. We've been this disappointed 5 of the 6 times we've sat up here with John. It didn't matter. I was more disappointed 2 years ago after losing to New England because it hurts worse. It doesn't mean that our team was worse. Our team obviously wasn't worse, or we wouldn't have gotten there. But we're half away from getting there, and I think we could have beaten Cincinnati like San Diego did. And I'd be just as comfortable going into Denver and New England this year because of what happened last year. So We're still 10 days away from losing, and it still bothers us all. But quality people take that as fuel, and make the most of it. So I'm getting over it, and I'm excited about going forward.
Clifton Brown, Comcast Sportsnet. This is for Ozzie. There's been a lot of talk about the offense, but defensively there were some issues, particularly late in games. Defense not getting off the field, and also the pass rush kind of weakened as the season went on. What do you attribute those things to, and what do you think you can do personnel-wise to try and correct that?
Well, number one, not having the ability to get off the field maybe cost us maybe 3 or 4 ball games this year. I think we recognize that. To improve on that, I think, number one, you have to start with the guys you got. We got to get those guys better and put those guys in better positions to make plays. And then on the other side of that, then, you know, I talked about a free safety. You know, maybe getting a free safety that can be a playmaker. You know, when tip balls are in the air, guys can come away with that. So I think all of those things. And I think the other thing that we talked about during the season, you know, in order to be successful, you got to have confidence, you know. And I think we got to build a confidence amongst our defensive players that in those situations they can make a play and win the game. You know, they don't have to go out there and be playing tentative or scared. You know, go make the play. You know, the other 10 guys got your back. And I think we'll be able to get to that because, you know, it was a new mixture of guys. I don't know, it was 6 new guys on defense, seven new guys. You know, so they had to get the cohesiveness going. But you have to get to the point where you feel like you can make that play and get the defense off the field.
And that's with Carroll County Times for Ozzie and for John. I'm just looking back at the draft class. How would you assess the play of those guys? And what can players like Arthur Brown, Brandon Williams, John Simon, some of their earlier picks, what can they do? What are you looking for them to do to carve out bigger roles going into next year?
I'm going to give a general statement. I guess I'll let John be a little bit more specific. But having guys grow and improve from the first year to the second year is all about us having a successful football team. And a case in point is of D'Angelo Tyson. You know, sitting here a year ago, we probably did not count on D'Angelo being a guy that would be in our rotation, and he was able to get into that. So, but we had our meeting, and we talked about things that our young guys need to do. And we, as we said, we have an off-season with them. You know, we don't get them till May once you draft them, but now we got them, and we've had a year to find out what their strengths and weaknesses are. So that's from my perspective, and I'll let John share from his.
I think that's the main thing is the biggest improvement usually is between the first and second year. You know, that's something that's kind of an old wives' tale in coaching a little bit and in football a little bit, Stan shaking his head. And whether it's the first week to the second week, the first game to the second game, the first year to the second year, these guys have been through it now one time. They're going to make major strides. But every one of those guys, you know the guys, Matt Elam should be a really, really good safety in this league. He's fast. He's physical. He's going to understand the expectations a little more. He's going to anticipate checks a little better. He's going to understand what it means to stay deep when you're supposed to stay deep, not to you know, stop your feet when you got a vertical receiver running up on you and you're a deep third or deep half player. I mean, those are things that you learn sometimes from experience, the hard way. But he didn't make too many mistakes, you know, for a guy that played that many reps as a safety. So it's a good start for him. Art Brown did a really good job in our nickel packages. Art's a guy that's learning a lot of football. You know, he bounced a little bit in college. And football, understanding the complexity of the defensive schemes in this at this level, I think are going to take him to a starting role. I mean, he's going to compete for a starting job. He'll be competing for that starting role linebacker job. And, you know, I expect him to win the job, but he's got to go win the job, right? Brandon Williams should be in the rotation at least as a defensive tackle. He proved that he can play. We had a lot of depth there this year. He had a little maturing to do, and he should be in the mix. Kyle played great on special teams. He was one of our best special teams players. Played like a linebacker on special teams. That's a great thing, you know, for a fullback, tight end type guy. But we've got to get him into the mix more. I mean, Kyle's got to be a guy that's a huge part of what we do going forward. You know, he's a transition guy from a two-back to a one-back scheme. You know, he's the link as far as being a move guy, lining up in the backfield, lining up out as a wide receiver. He can do those things. So got high hopes for him. John Simon, nobody practices harder, works harder than John Simon. I just think he's going to make himself into a player. He'll find a way to get on the field one way or another, you know, and he's got some pass rushing talent. We got two linemen, the fifth and sixth round. You don't know about these guys, developmental guys between Ryan and Ricky. These guys are potential starters in this league, could be starting for us next year if they earn the job. So that's the draft class right there. I don't think I missed anybody that's still on the team.
Lewis Moore.
Capron Lewis Moore, who practiced for 3 weeks for us, got a great chance to be a starting five technique or be in the rotation for sure in that 3 weeks of practice. And then Aaron Millett, who showed a lot as a kind of a deep ball wide receiver and a red zone threat in preseason, who hurt his knee. So Aaron's going to be a guy that's going to be in the mix too.
Ryan, want to throw in Marlon in there? Marlon Brown?
Well, right. Marlon, you guys could throw Marlon in there, right? You saw it. You know, and Marlon's got to improve in some catch radius things and seam routes and some nine ball routes. Yet here's a guy that's already a red zone threat and played really well in the slot who can play inside or outside. So, you know, Marlon's going to compete for a starting job, and, you know, he's right there already. So.
Jason, next to ESPN.com. Ozzie, Trostok has a high salary cap. Is he definitely back in this team next year, and is he definitely back at contract with that right now?
Well, you know, I've had the opportunity to talk to Subs every day. You know, he kind of makes sure that, you know, that's a decision that, you know, we'll talk about when we get down to Jupiter. You know, Terrell is a real good football player. And, you know, he not only shows up in the pass game, but he shows up in the run game. But that being said, we let a good football player go last year, you know, so we're not afraid. You know, I'm not a virgin when it comes to letting guys walk out the door. So what we'll do, we'll look at every aspect of it and see, you know, what's best for the 2014 and 15 and 16 Ravens and make that decision, you know, once we get to it.
The one that sticks out to me more than anything is the changes in the safety rules and how much harder we made it on the referees. They already had a tough job, and then you talk about, you know, we've gotten better with the 10 camera angles, and we've gotten better with the HD, and we've got very, you know, novice fans that can see that a referee is wrong. I think that we can look at revamping. I was talking to you and Bill Belichick on the field the second of the last game, and we really trying to make these refs in a split second understand what is a helmet-to-helmet hit. In and of itself is impossible because you see head snap back, and other times you realize that it was the shoulder to the shoulder, and they still get a flag, and then they sometimes still get fined. So, you know, I heard talk of the potential to do it the NHL way, where these reviews are done in Baltimore, in New York. I'm all for it. I think that, and I think it takes almost 3 minutes, even though they're only allowed under the hood for 1 minute. By the time the ref goes over and talks to the guy and he throws his flag and then he walks over and he's on the headset and he looks at all the different replays, I think we can expedite that process and make it better. I think it's easier for nonpartisan guy up in New York to overrule that ref than it is that ref walking off the field to overrule himself or his teammate, so to speak. So I'm all for the New York thing. I think it would make it better. I think it would make it more efficient. And I think we could even consider maybe giving these guys an extra challenge because of the, you know, if we could expedite the process, cut that down to 1.5 minutes and give them one extra. And I think that having to decide whether you want to throw a challenge in the first quarter is always it's hard for a coach because he's thinking, I think we see it. We might have a chance at it, but I can't afford to give that challenge up. I think that we could off that to me, if I was in charge, I would be heading there full speed ahead. And I really think the league is at least heading in that direction. If I can kick their asses a little bit faster, I certainly will. But I'm not on the competition committee. So I really think that we need to – I think we need to make it fairer for the refs, not easier for the refs, but just fairer for the refs, because I think that we can all conclude that we still have the best refs out there. It's still a system that has been evolving, and guys get fired. You know, refs get fired. They don't announce it in the USA Today and on SportsCenter that they relieve two referees of their duties because of repeated mistakes, but it happens. And then new guys get a chance, and the new guys are the best out of the Pac-10 and the best guys out of the SEC. So they care very much to do a great job, and unfortunately for them, I think a great job is being right 80% of the time. But when it costs you a game, doesn't matter whether they're 95% right or 30% right. So kind of think they get a bad rap, but I think we can get that better. I think we can. I think the new rules has made it ridiculously hard on these guys.
Morgan asks at Fox 45, Ozzie, with the draft being later this year, does that change any early approach to how you address free agency and just your thoughts on it being later?
No, not really. It gives us more time to prepare. It will allow our coaches to have more time to get involved in the draft because of the two additional weeks. But as far as free agents, one of the things that when we decided to move the draft, we wanted to keep free agency as it was, not to impact that, because I think there's so many things that happen in the calendar year for us in the league. You know, keeping some stability allows us to maintain some type of life. So it will not change free agency. It will just allow 31 other teams to be better prepared going into the draft, in my estimation.
Stan White, WBAL Radio with John. How different is it for you this year? I guess that every offseason is a little different. 2 years ago, you had to bring him back after a devastating loss. Last year, you sort of had to bring him back to Earth after the Super Bowl. How different is it for you, and how did you approach the offseason and the players after not making?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the difficulty. It is different, like you're saying, Stan. It's one thing, our players are more motivated than ever. So it's a different problem than last year, that's for sure. And I know our guys, and I had a chance to text some guys and talk to some guys over the weekend when games were being played. Our guys weren't real happy about not playing. I like that. I like the fact that they're not pleased with the fact that they were sitting home watching. So we should come back more highly motivated than ever. And we've had disappointment, like Steve talked about. We've had probably more gut-wrenching losses in the playoffs than we had this year, but we were in the playoffs. And it's just not acceptable. I don't think any of our guys feel that way. And I like the fact that they're not happy about it.
Pete Gilbert, WBAL-TV. And Steve, this is for you. You mentioned about, you know, gut-wrenching losses and the frustration that was so close this year. What was you almost had one against Pittsburgh here? Mike Tomlin on the field there. What was your reaction to that? Was that just gamesmanship, or was that pure mistake? What were your thoughts about that?
You know what? It's not my job to figure out intent. I'm glad we won the game. My feelings for that move might have been a lot different. But that bizarre, weird, strange, unexplainable, and I think Mike was embarrassed about it. And I like Mike a lot. He's a really good guy. So his intent, that's completely in his court. He got fined for it, and again, he's embarrassed as a competitor. But like I said, I'm glad we won.
Jerry Coleman with 105.7 The Fan. This is for Steve and Ozzie, if you want to follow up. Steve, do you go to the coaches and to Ozzie and make suggestions or demands when it comes to personnel or staff, like what transpired with Wilbur Montgomery? There's been a lot of talk around town about Juan Castillo's future as well. Is that something you guys can address?
I can't address it. Ozzy, I think, has talked a lot with John about the coaches. I really will get into it maybe this weekend more when we're in Florida. But no, I don't suggest, and I never demand, and I do suggest. But right now, I haven't suggested to John to revamp his coaching staff.
John relies on me to give him the input on his coaching. He trusts me. Trust me because I help hire him, I guess.
He doesn't rely or trust me, so maybe that's why I haven't gotten into it yet.
But, yes, I mean, and it's constant, the dialogue that he and I have. And he allows me to – he wants me to ask questions about his staff because he wants to have the best staff in the National Football League. And John is not afraid – to make tough decisions or unpopular decisions if he thinks it's in the best interest of the Baltimore Ravens. So our relationship about his coaching staff, I don't know if it's matched in the league when it comes to that. And his ability to allow me to be real frank about what I think, and he listens.
Luke Jones, WNST Radio. Ozzie, even though Dennis Pitter was able to get on the field for the final four games, did you see enough from him to feel comfortable in establishing his free agent value, or perhaps, you know, when you look at it, the franchise tag maybe be something that works for both sides as far as him coming back in 2014?
The first part of your question, yes. We saw Dennis for 3 weeks before we put him on the field. And he still has the skill sets to be a very productive receiver in this league. And going forward, we would like to have Dennis on our football team. He plays winning football for us in a lot of manner. He's a mismatch problems for defenses. And I've seen other teams in the league kind of take that prototype and use it now, you know, having a guy like Dennis on their team and the matchup problems that it presents. So, yes, he's someone that we'll be talking about down in Jupiter. And we like to have him. There are no guarantees. Just one thing about this business, I mean, we wanted Kruger and Ellaby back last year, and we wasn't able to keep him.
Hey, Chris, hold on for a second. If you have a question on that side of the room, just try to catch Patrick's eye over here, Chaz, as we move forward. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Chris.
Chris Jones, presentation. You guys made an uncharacteristic move with an in-season trade earlier this year. Just where does that really come from? Is it one of you guys speaking up, making, I'm sure y'all have input on that, but just kind of where does that originate? Did you guys look at possibly exploring anything else going to see?
Well, we're always open to bettering our team 12 months out of the year. And, you know, part of our league, that there are relationships that our employees, our associates have with other teams. They're very close. And just in conversation, sometimes you hear things about what other teams are doing, or other teams will actually call you to run things by you. What do you think? And that was a little bit of the situation that happened with Eugene. It ended up being very unique in how it was able to be done. You probably can't imagine the way we put everything through a process, the amount of time we spent on making that decision and the people that was involved in it for it to get done. But we did it. We did it because we thought it would help us to win this year, but also give us the potential to win going forward, because he is our player right now and we don't have to go out and get him as a UFA.
Just to the genesis of doing this, that the concept of ownership, president, general manager, coach, standing in front of everyone taking questions. Not every sports team does it. Not every league does it. You do it. The genesis of it and why you think it's important that you do this event.
So I don't have to do any more? Honest to God, I almost didn't come last year, and I thought, good, if I don't come this the year I win the Super Bowl, then they don't ever. And so I woke up last week and thought, oh, I got to do that press conference. And I thought, but I can't because then I looked like a sore loser after I was sitting up here grinning ear to ear after the Super Bowl. So I missed my opportunity. So if I win the Super Bowl next time, I'm not coming up, and then I might never do it again. So I have to do it. And
why? Why is it important?
Well, you know what? Because I think that we really like each other. We really like what we're doing. And so, like I said, 5 of the 6 years, it's been a week after major disappointments, and I owe it to these guys. And I owe it to the fans, obviously. I think the fans appreciate the fact that maybe I'm a little bit of a loose cannon and think the way they do and ask the same questions that they do and complain the same way. So I do it because I owe it to the fans, I guess. And I owe it to you guys. I mean, you're great. You're smart and you have a lot of opinions. And so I guess I should come up here and answer your questions, even if they're tough ones.
For both Ozzie and Steve, even with limited cap space last year, you guys found a way to be active on free agent market and obviously bring in players like Tobias, Chris Canny, Michael Hoff, Marcus Spears. This year, you guys have limited cap space, I guess you could say once again. Would that even be in the case, though? How much would you like to be active in free agency, especially since this club seems to be strong in some areas that could potentially help you guys?
Well, we will be active, but let me say something about all of those players who we signed last year were free agents and wasn't UFAs. You know, they were cap casualties of other teams, which allowed us to be able to maintain our compensatory picks for the guys that we lost. So there's a rhyme and reason on how we acquire players to continue to maintain our ability to stay strong going forward. And we will do the same. And even if it means that we have to go out and get a UFA this time, and which means we probably lose a compensatory pick, we don't say no to anything. We look at everything from an individual standpoint, and then we see what's going to make us better for this year and years going forward. The cap room, you can make the cap as fluid as you want it to be, but again, we're not restructuring contracts. We're not doing that.
Ozzie, Matt Bensel from the Baltimore Sun. You mentioned earlier that the wide receiver was a potential need. Can you expand on the particular qualities you might be looking for in a receiver? And as it pertains to the draft, what did you learn in the past couple of years from drafting and developing wide receivers? Because you just had someone in Torrey Smith who caught 1,100 yards that you drafted a couple of years ago.
Well, the second part of your question, you can draft a Torrey Smith in the second round, you can have some success, and you can draft Travis Taylor in the first, and you can blow it. I mean, the wide receiver position in the draft, there are a lot of hits and misses. But what we've tried to do is identify guys that have certain traits that could come in. And I think we got a real good receiver coach in Jim Hostler who helped develop. But you can't discount that a receiver's also come in undrafted college free agents like Marlon. A guy that we had ranked, blew out his knee, and then we were able to get him after some things happened with the Texans. So we will try to acquire. I think, and I already know this, and I won't share it with you, I think we've identified the type of receiver that we want. And when John told me, I lit up because I was right there with him as to what we're looking for in a receiver this year. And I think before the 2014 season ends, we will have that guy on our football team.
Cliff Brown, Comcast Sports. Steve mentioned that he knows that both Ray and Bernard were ahead this year. In regards to Ray, how concerned or not concerned are you that Ray will return to being the type of back that he's been most of his career?
Is that to me?
Yeah.
Ray was one of the players that I sat down with last week. I think Ray is committed to being as good a football player as he has been. I mean, we had great dialogue yesterday on what we think we can do to help Ray to get there. But that combination of us having an understanding and a willingness to provide some help to him and him have a willingness to work his butt off, we will, again, have a Pro Bowl running back in Ray Rice next year. But, I could say that in game two, it's an ACL. And I can't handle that. I mean, nobody can deal with that aspect of it.
doesn't happen. Knocking on wood, Ozzie.
Oh, okay.
Want to mitigate that a little bit.
For Steve and Dick, possibly, the first round of the playoffs, we saw that three of the sites, for various reasons, did not sell out until they got an extension. And there's been continued conversation about fans enjoying the product more at home than in person. Is that a concern for the Baltimore Ravens or for the league in general?
It's a huge concern, but I think we only had two blackouts in the entire league in the regular season. And I'll be real quick with this. They're talking about expanding the playoffs. It seems to be gaining momentum, adding a seventh team per conference. That would add a game. Then the second seed would have to play in the first weekend. Only the first seed would be off. It adds two games. I read, the extra time slots and the money that it would be worth. The problem that would create is that teams like the Packers and teams that are borderline are sending out playoff tickets and making people send in their money early because you have to be prepared. And then you have 15,000 people that come to the game every week and don't sign up because their team's 6-6. And then they go on to win their, three of their four games and they're in. And now you've got to go back within a week and try and get all those fulfilled. So it's not really a lack of a demand as much as it is a logistics problem. And so what, we've always been able to sell out our playoff games, but we've also always been able to get that money in from our fans if we have a playoff. And when you expand, then it's going to mean that there's going to be six other teams that are still in the running that are going to be asking their fans to send in that money in December to be prepared to have that ticket in hand if you're right back in at the end of the season. So that's crazy, because I remember years ago being in Florida when Miami got in and they didn't sell out a playoff game. And I was there, they're watching their last game or heading into the playoff game, and they were like 10,000 fans short of a sellout for a playoff game. And I just couldn't understand that. But it really came down to the logistics of people come in December and they're 6-6 and they just say, I'm not paying that $600, for two rounds of playoffs. And I don't know how you deal with that, but they all sold out, but you only get a week to do it. And we start getting in, renewals like right away, and then we're still banging on people's doors in July saying, this is your last notice. We're sending certified letters for people, and they all come back in, they drag their feet, they have personal issues that maybe they can't afford it. But every year, we're getting about a 98 to 99% renewal rate. And so we're very fortunate here. We thank the fans for that. Other teams struggle a little bit more. That's their problem.
Steve Davis, 105.7 The Fan. I think this is probably for John. Steve, you just mentioned how you do this for the fans. John, you mentioned last week we're the kind of the conduit for the fans. There's been no greater name, I don't think, since the end of the season than Juan Castillo. Would you be willing to shed some light on what exactly he did this year, how his job was different than Andy Moeller's, and if you will come back next year with the same structure of, most people perceive to be two offensive line coaches, same structure of him and a run game coordinator or whatever you title it, and Andy Moeller?
Yeah, it's a good question. Thanks. I can understand why Juan is the lightning rod right now because of the way that was set up and structured. Then we go into the season and we have our worst year ever running the ball, and he's got that title. So, that's on me. When we hired Juan and we added Juan and had a chance to add Juan last year, the idea was to add another great coach into our mix. And Juan functioned as the lead offensive line coach last year. That was his job. The title was a way to have three great offensive line coaches in our mix right there. Andy had a big contribution last year. It was a little bit different than he had the year before. It wasn't the same as he had when he was with John Matsko. So we had three guys working together, and I thought it was going to be a really good mix. And I thought those guys did a really good job of coaching together. We didn't get the result we wanted to get, but Juan was the offensive line coach, and the title's going forward. And that's one of the things that Isaac and I talked a lot about. And I talked a lot with Juan about this and talked with Andy about this. Juan's title is going to be the offensive line coach. That's the way he worked last year. He worked as an offensive line coach. The offensive line coach works the run schemes and the pass protection schemes. He's pretty much out front and leads on that, but the offensive coordinator is in charge of the offense. You know, he organizes the offense and decides exactly how we're going to do the details of that. Then I'm on top of that, and I make all the final decisions as far as what direction we go and how we do it. So it really didn't function any differently last year than it had the year before or the 4 years before that, and that's the way it worked. Going forward, our plan right now is to improve, is to get better. There are a lot of things that we didn't do well as a coaching staff, and that's what we look at ourselves first. And we got to do a better job of putting our players in position to make plays, offense, defense, and special teams. If we find a way to score another couple touchdowns in the red zone, we're in the playoffs. All right? If we find a way to eliminate a couple turnovers, we're in the playoffs. If we find a way to get a stop in a critical situation at the end of a game, even right to the Cincinnati game, if we do just a little bit more of that, we're in the playoffs. But that's the fine line of the National Football League. That's what makes the league so great. You know what we're talking about. That's why it's so exciting and so competitive. But we got to find a way as a coaching staff to get the very most out of the players that we have. And that's what I'm working on right now, along with Ozzie and Steve and Dick and our coaching staff. Let's set this thing up as well as we possibly can with our staff working together, utilizing everybody's strengths, you know, balancing our weaknesses with a lot of great coaches and building schemes that are going to make us the best we can be next year. And that's what we're going to try to do. So Juan will be the offensive line coach next year. The rest of it's a little bit in flux right now. You know, and we're 2 weeks earlier to this probably than 2 or 3 weeks, even 4 weeks, even earlier than we have been in the past. We've been coaching football games at this point in time. So as all this NFL coaching drama goes on, some of our guys are involved in that. We'll just have to see how it shakes out. But we're going to build a great coaching staff again this year.
We'll do three more. Drew, Glenn, and Jerry. Drew?
Thank you. Steve, WNST Radio is for Steve, and Dick may add some insight as well. Geographically, you have a team 80 miles to the north, you have a team 40 miles to the south, so you're sort of pinched a little bit from a market standpoint. And with the rising costs, are you concerned at all, Steve, about tapping the fan base out, that you're kind of going after the same people year after year? Is there any concern 2 years, 5 years down the road that this group of fans, you may not be able to keep pushing the expenses off on them?
Gee, I don't want to say pushing the expenses off on them. They're buying a good product, and our metro area is growing in population, and we're converting fans by having a good team. So I certainly would be concerned if we missed the playoffs for six straight years. I bet you'd see a softness in our demand, but. Like I said, I really like working with these guys, and I believe that we're going to continue to produce that kind of product. And Dick and I have talked a lot about, you know, slowing down the tradition of raising the prices every 2 years, because we know that it gets very expensive, but so does gas, and it doesn't stop people from driving. I can't worry about them not buying. I can only worry about creating a product that makes them want to buy. So I'm looking. I see what you're saying, but I'm attacking it from the other way. You know, I'm building pride in our organization, stability in our organization, success, and then I believe that demand will stay up. So I'm sensitive to it, but there's only one way I can attack it.
And our goal is to build our fan base, and I think we've been doing a good job of that. We've got more work to do. And, you know, we raised ticket prices in 2009, did not raise them again until 2013. So we slowed down the rate of ticket price increases. So I think we're very much aware of how expensive it is to go to an NFL game, and we're trying to take that into account. And the money we generate from our increased ticket sales, we've plowed right back into the stadium, try to make the game day experience better. So we're in the midst of a $35 million capital improvement program at the stadium. So I think we're aware we have to keep doing that. We're aware we got to keep the game day experience a good one at our stadium, not only on the field but off the field, and we're committed to doing that.
What was the communication like between Caldwell up in the booth to the field and Coach Hostler and into Joe's ear, and what would you change, if anything, on that communication?
I think the communication was good generally. There weren't too many times where we got you know, we had a miscue there other than technical sometimes. And there are sometimes when the phone goes out, you know, we got to signal something in. We had a few timeouts early in games when the phones just went out and the clock ran down. You know, I hear about clock management a lot of times from some of you out there, and a lot of times that's communication management. I'm not pointing any fingers here. But that's a reality of the whole thing, and that's when your signaling system comes in. But there are some things we can do schematically. We've talked about our system. We've talked about what's happening now with the high-definition TV and all the audio you're getting on your TV. All those things that you hear quarterbacks say and coaches say, our opponents hear those things too. And we hear all those things also. So we're studying those things. So we've got to find a way to basically hide what we're doing from our opponents. So the more the fans know, the more the opponents know. And that's something we're working on, shortening our calls, building kind of a code system where we can get things called quickly, but we can change it up from one play. It's the same play maybe. It's a different direction, ways that we can hide it from our opponents. I mean, it's a big deal. Communication is a huge thing. Stadiums are loud, and we've got to find a way to talk to each other and do it without having timeouts get called in the middle of the second quarter.
No, because I think we've identified the type of player that we're looking for, and that player will be available between now, whether it's in free agency, whether he's a cap casualty, whether it's in the draft, whether it's through a trade. So, no, there's no reason that he may not be here at the beginning of the season, but I always try to leave myself a little leeway to give us a chance to get it right.
I'm going to put a little pressure on Ozzie to get that done a little bit before the first game if possible.
But we've identified it, and that's the first step.
All right.
That's it?
That's it.
Mike Preston, nothing?
Catch you later.
Huh? Come on, man. I came up here. I flew up from Florida for this. Don't you have anything for me? Huh?
We've identified the source.
I'm singing like a bird.
All right. Thank you very much.